Amen. Thank the Lord for it. I want you to take your Bible. This is going to take you a while. Go to the book of Habakkuk, if you would, please. That may take you a minute. So while you're finding your place there, I want to tell you a little bit about the meeting we had this week with the building inspectors. Brother Glenn Gooding, Rob Ferguson, and myself met with the inspectors on the project for redoing the men's and ladies' bathrooms here. And we asked you last week to pray about that, and we wanted to get their opinions to see if there was anything that was going to hold us up and make sure all of our plans were well made. And they walked through and looked around, looked at everything that had been drawn up and the prints and everything else, and said, this is good to go. All you need to do is file for the building permit and get started. And I said, we can expedite the building permit process just a little bit, and they said that they could actually, by the time it's filed, we could have it back probably in a week. And so if you would pray that God would give us good timing, you'll see a lot of changes in the next 2 to 3 months out in the bathroom area, the foyer area. We'll be doing some recarpeting work once we get the bathrooms done, down into the chapel room where our Spanish church meets, and the carpet in there is in poor shape, so we'll be doing all the way around, just having some continuity there. In the book of Habakkuk this morning, we'll be studying together this thought, the just shall live by faith. We'll read through a passage of scripture there in just a moment. But there was a time of history that was actually called the Dark Ages. And when it had reached its what man would call its depths, God intervened and he raised a man up by the name of Martin Luther. And Martin had been in the church for many, many years and was well indoctrinated in the church, but was very puzzled by some things. And he felt as if there was something missing that the church had not told him. And they had basically told him that he had to work for and he had to earn his way to heaven. And he just said, I felt like that none of that really was true. And so in 1521, it was written and made up, called the Diet of Worms, in which he was ostracized and considered a heretic because he had gotten in the Word of God and he found in the Old Testament a passage of Scripture that we're reading this morning, and it said this, the just shall live by faith. And he said, I knew then that I had not been taught or preached to or given the full context of the Scripture. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the Scripture saith that whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The Bible says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. That ought to give us reason to rejoice this morning, folks. It says to us this morning, God is not prejudiced. God holds nothing against any man. He's willing to save the Jew and the Gentile, the man and the woman, child and elderly. There is no one that God will reject with this salvation. He says there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's gospel this morning. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Luther determined that what he had been taught was an error by the gospel of Christ and based on the literal living word of God. The book of Habakkuk this morning, if you would please, I want us to read through in chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Would you stand with us, please? He says to us this morning the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raised up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Pray with us, please. Father, help us in the moments that we have to study this thought. The just shall live by faith. Strengthen us from your word this morning. Speak to each of us in a personal way because you know our personal need. We thank you for your word this morning. We're thankful for what you have paid for us this morning. If there's one here that has not by faith received forgiveness, please, Lord, convict their heart this morning and may they receive. If there are those of us here this morning who have received forgiveness, yet we're not living as we should by faith, I pray that you would convict us this morning and make us unsettled and uncomfortable in our faith, that we would add to our faith the things that are necessary and needful. Lord, speak to us. Use your word this morning in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, if you would please. How to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. There are questions sometimes that get a little tough. I want you to take note, if you would, this morning of some things that in this chapter, as well as in chapter 2 of the same book, some things about the circumstances surrounding this man of God. He is living in the context of great injustice. He is living in days of violence. He is living in a day where there is strife between people, between faith, and he is living in a time of great conflict. It sounds like he was living yesterday. I hear so many people say to us today, well, the Bible, written as it was, is an outdated document. I'm going to tell you this morning, I find it as up-to-date as today's newspaper. If we took the time this morning to read all the things that are happening in the social way around this prophet of God and see that he was so overcome with all that was going on, he is in this passage of Scripture questioning God. How long will all of this go on? Now let me ask you this today. Have you ever been in that place in your life? A place, a time where your faith is tested to the nth degree. As God's people, we must not live by faith of the circumstances around us, but we're told that we have to live by faith. So the first thing, the just shall live by faith, the faith that was first used in the Old Testament. We see that living by faith is becoming so frustrated with the present reality that questions are asked. And we see here, can having faith equal asking questions? We say, well, Pastor, I thought it was wrong to question God. No, and let me remind you of why I say that. Because when Jesus hung on the cross, he questioned the Father. Do you remember that one of the dying words of the Lord Jesus was, why? It's not a sin for us to question God. However, there's some things that we're learning here from this. Habakkuk had what we would call a theophany. A theophany is this. A theophany is an encounter with God to see Him as Lord. And his belief was that God did exist. And the proof that his belief was that God did exist is he is speaking to God. I shared a couple of illustrations with teachers, and then this morning in Sunday school class, I heard a radio talk show host this week on Wednesday evening coming into church debating on the radio an atheist woman. And he couldn't make heads or tails out of what she was saying, and he couldn't get his point across to her. And so he tried to change the subject. And when he changed the subject, and at the moment I can't remember what he changed the subject to, and as she began to change it from this subject to the subject that he was trying to get it to, she made reference to God. And he came back with, okay, you want to believe in God when it's convenient for you, but not when it's convicting for you. Well, Habakkuk, even though he is questioning what God is doing, and listen, I don't understand things that God is doing. I don't understand things that God does in my life. I don't understand some of the things that God does in our country. There are a lot of things going on civilly and circumstantially, socially, randomly. I don't understand all of those things. I do know what it is to be in a place where you begin to say, Lord, how long can all of this happen? How long can we go through all of these things? But the mere fact that he is questioning God points us to the place of his belief in God. Now, how about those questions? How long and why? We're looking at those. Habakkuk was sickened by the moral and the physical destruction that society was exhibiting around him. And some may see this as an irreverent question, but that's not his place. Let's boil down what Habakkuk is saying. Is he saying, why would God allow greater wickedness to prevail? And why was God allowing his own people? And here's what was happening. And here's why I say it's so modern. Habakkuk was watching it, all of this immorality, all of the issues of the world were creeping into the nation of Israel. They were creeping into God's people. Like a virus or like a disease that is spreading, the sin and the issues of the heathen were creeping into the nation of Israel. And Habakkuk is very confused about why God is doing what he is doing. Now, when we look at all of these things, we think of where we are today and what's going on around us today. It brings us to the second piece. Living by faith is being so confident in God that you wait for his answer. So we can say this morning, living by faith is actually coming to the place that we ask the appropriate questions of God. But the second is, living by faith is actually waiting for God to answer. You know, we take prayer so light. We pray, and if God doesn't answer in 2 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 days, 2 weeks, in a few moments, if you read through chapter 1, you find God's answer. And God says to his man, my time frame and your time frame are totally different. But we see here that he is waiting on an answer. Habakkuk assures us of his living by faith. He says 3 or 4 different things with this. He says, I will stand. He says, I will be at my watch. He says, I am watching and I'm waiting. I am anticipating a response from the Almighty. Now, he is not asking these questions. He's not doing what he's doing in any kind of arrogance. I think he reminds me somewhat of the story of Job. Though Job's was a lot more physical than it was spiritual, we know that the spiritual battle was between God and Satan, and Job was hung in the middle of that. He was caught in the crossfire, but all of the things that had happened to him were more of a physical nature than a spiritual nature. And so I see this story being much, much like that of Job. Only Habakkuk is very concerned with the spiritual things, the right spirit. The third thing that this brings us to this morning is living by faith is an expanded worldview understanding. Notice, if you would, in chapter 2, Habakkuk chapter 2. And the Lord answered me. Now, let me say this to you. When by faith in God you ask questions, and we know that he's asking questions by prayer, and he is waiting for an answer. You can illustrate this in your life, I'm sure. I have seen teachers do it. I have seen parents do it. You ask a question of someone. Let's use the parent and child relationship, and you say to your daughter, why did you cut your brother's hair? I'm not speaking from experience. Why did you cut your brother's hair the day of his kindergarten graduation? And you know what the normal answer is? Because. I've heard, just making that scenario up, but I've heard so many times a parent say, why did you do this? And the answer come back, because. And I have seen parents say, that's not an answer. And I have done this and I have seen it done. That's not the answer. Now I want the reason why. And we're going to stand here, right here, until you tell me why. Not in that tone of voice, but that's what Habakkuk is doing. We're going to be right here, God. I'm just going to sit here and wait. Now, he doesn't say I'm going to be lazy, because he's already said, I'm going to keep doing what I know to do. There's too many people do this. Let me a side note for this. There's too many people do this. When they don't understand what God is doing, they just sit down. They just quit. Well, I don't understand why God's doing this, so I'm just going to stop faithfully attending church. I don't understand why God is doing this. I'm going to stop tithing. I don't understand why God's doing this. I'm going to stop being a testimony and witnessing and evangelizing until I hear from God. Now, that's not what Habakkuk has said. Habakkuk has said, I don't understand what you're doing, Lord, and I'm not going any further past here. I'm going to stand here doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to keep my shift and watching when I'm supposed to be watching and listening when I'm supposed to be listening. But I'm not moving any further down the road until I hear back from you. And what he's saying to God is this: I expect to hear you say something. You know why some of us in this room don't hear an answer to our prayers? Because we don't expect an answer to our prayer. Now, Habakkuk is asking these questions, and he's putting himself in a position. He is living by faith, asking these questions in prayer, because he's saying, God, I have faith that you're going to answer and you're going to give me the word that is needed for this. The expanded world view. Let's look at chapter 2, verse 2 through 4. And the Lord said, or answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Now God begins to open his mouth, and he is giving some direction. And Habakkuk's heart is, okay, Lord, I'll respond as you speak to me. And God didn't ask him to sit still and do nothing. Now he gives him a command, and he says this: you write down what I'm getting ready to say. You pin it down, and I want you to make it plain. I want you to put it in understandable words. Now, there was not the Times Dispatch. There was not Newsweek. There was not any of these USA Today and all of that. When news spread, and this day it had to spread by the mouth of man. And so now, as Habakkuk has taken it down, he said, the Lord says, make it plain, so that he that taketh the word and runneth with it, he that goes out and spreads the word, may do so with accuracy. So he tells him, you get all of this down and I'm going to speak to you. Are you ready? So, and do this so that the herald can understand it. This is all about getting things in the right perspective. Now, how long was the question and why? And then God has a final word with it. He says, while you're waiting on me to act, we look at verse number 5 of chapter 2. Yea, also because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desires as hell, as his death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto them all people. Those who are just and know me, the living God, he's saying, I am the living God, and here's that phrase that is so easy to say. Habakkuk, I am in full control. And though Israel is being influenced by a heathen nation with heathen practices, and they're starting to act out the things that they've seen and heard, I am in control. Now, if you would, look over to chapter 3. In just a moment, I'm going to have you take down a few things that I believe would help us understand how do I live by faith. If the Bible says the just shall live, and I want to be just, how do I do that? In chapter 3, look at verse 16, if you would. And I want you to grasp his physical condition. When I heard, my belly trembled, and my lips quivered at thy voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble when he cometh up unto the people. He will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Now, verse 18 is extremely important. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation, the Lord. God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon high places. And this is written to the chief singers of the stringed instruments. This is a dynamic waiting that we see. Now, if you would, this morning, let's take note of just four or five things about this living by faith. Number one, living by faith means waiting for God to answer. Living by faith means waiting for God to answer. Can I ask you this morning, what are you waiting on to hear from God? What prayer is there now before the face of God that you have offered? You have not yet gotten an answer from God. I have illustrated it before, and for the sake of our time, I won't illustrate it again today. I will just tell you this. There have been times that I have gotten on my knees and I pray and I ask God for something, an answer, a provision. And rather than leaving it with God, I take it back to myself. And I get up and I go about everything that I can do to solve my problem myself. And I look back and you know what I find? It's at those moments God did not answer me. There are prayers that I can think of standing here before you today, prayers that I have prayed that God did not answer. Why? Why would you pray a prayer that God didn't answer? You saying God didn't hear you? Yeah, God heard me. But he didn't answer me. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I wasn't living by faith. I prayed my prayer. I asked the Lord. I petitioned the Lord. And maybe it's something as simple as a provision of something. I told you years and years ago when Sonia and I were married, we were expecting James, and I had been injured in an accident and out of work for about 10 weeks. We'd only been married about 8 weeks. No, it wasn't 8 weeks. It had been about a year. About a year later, I was still having issues with my back. And we hit one of those spots where financially it just wasn't there. Sonia was in college still, all sorts of things going on. And we came down to, her parents called and said, "We're coming to visit for the weekend." And that's great. We're glad to see them, but I hope they don't plan to eat this weekend. It was tight. I remember in our apartment, we began to pray. This is one of those times that I prayed, and I don't believe God answered my prayer. He answered my wife's prayer. We pray, "Well, Lord, you know, we need this. We need you to do something." And that's the night that we came, the very night, that was a Wednesday, it was the very night that we came to church. Many of you remember Mary Smith, you sit right back there. Mary came up to Sonia. Mary's hands, even at that time, were shaking a little bit, and she came over, she hugged her, and she took her hands and she put an envelope in her hands like this. And she said, "The Lord wanted me to be a blessing, and I know you've got that little baby coming. And the Lord wanted me to be a blessing to you, and so I had this gift for you." And what she did that night, God allowed to use to supply a need that we had at that very moment. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God answered the prayer of my wife that night, but I don't know that He answered the prayer. "You mean you didn't pray that?" "Yeah, I prayed that. But see, when I prayed, I got up off my knees and I started to look around the apartment. I had never been in a pawn shop in all my life. I'm looking for something to pawn. A lot of you know me. I was looking for something to sell. I was looking for anything that we bought that still had the price tag on it that we could take back. I was looking for any means that I could come up with. Well, I gave it to God, but I was not willing to wait." Some of our prayers are not answered. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Faith enough to ask the question and faith enough to wait for the answer. Number one, living by faith means waiting for God to answer. Number two, living by faith means obeying God. It means obeying God. With this, back to the reference of Scripture, when God said, "Write this down," God was telling him, "You go public with this proclamation. You make this known." Now, I'll ask you a question. Have you ever gone to God with a petition, with a complaint, or with a need, and you ask God to do something, and then you refuse to do what God tells you to do? You know, this book that you hold in your hands today has your orders for life. It has the steps for daily living. God has told us completely how we are to live. And some of us refuse to obey what He said for us to do. And I'm not talking about big things. I'm talking about little things. You know, the Bible clearly, very clearly teaches how we should attend church. You know, the Bible very clearly teaches us what kind of personality we as Christians should have. It clearly tells us about the joy of the Lord being our strength. The Bible clearly tells us how we're to speak. The Bible so clearly tells us how we're to think. You remember a few weeks ago we read the verse and it seemed so repetitive in what it says. When He tells us to think on these things, if we thought on those things, it oftentimes would change our outlook. Folks that are in a great battle physically with cancer, most of the time when I first talk with them, I talk with them, I can't do anything with the cancer cells. But I have figured this out. I have watched it hundreds of times over the last several years. if the person maintains a spirit about themselves, and I'm not preaching positive, power of positive thinking, and you can think it away. But I want to tell you this. If you think life is going to be all bad and no good will ever come and it's all doom and gloom, that's exactly what your life is going to be. And the person who's going through cancer needs to have a positive look. You got to look past what's right here. I want you all, please be in prayer for Heather Robsky. She starts this coming week. The bone marrow transplant is en route from Spain to her. And she's got four of the hardest days of her life with chemotherapy. It's going to wipe out the immune system. She and I talked about this a couple months ago. I personally know people that have been through this process that were quarantined for 90 days. No one could touch them. 90 days in a hospital room. And when they bring you a meal, they're decked out and they set it down and close the door. You come get it all sterile. I'm going to tell you something that'll work on you. Right now, she's got a big battle against cancer, but let me tell you what the largest battle with her is? And the battle in the mind. I got sidetracked with that. The Bible tells us how to live with joy. The Bible tells us how to have a proper spirit about us. The Bible tells us how to deal with one another, love one another, pray for one another, be affectionate toward another. Being kind one to another. It tells us how to handle our lives together. It's the instruction manual for us. Let me say this. God tells us this. I'll pick on Gordon. He's got to quit sitting toward the front. Gordon offends me and I don't forgive him. The Bible is very clear in the statement that if I do not forgive Gordon for his offense against me, and then I pray and I ask the Lord to forgive me of my sin, God will not hear me. He will not answer me. I have to obey the Scripture in order for God to do what He is totally capable of doing. So living by faith means obeying God. How many of us here will pray for lost people? I'm not asking you for any response. Let's say this morning you have a lost person on your mind or your heart, a person that doesn't know Christ as Savior, and you're praying for them. Can I tell you this? That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But the Bible doesn't tell you just to pray. The Bible tells us we have to go. And we have to confront them in a personal way, face to face. And we confront them with the gospel. You know, the Bible, one of the ministries that needs to grow, if our church is going to grow, is people who visit. Amen. Is people who visit. And do you realize this? The Bible tells us to visit. That's not just something somebody came up with in 1964 when the church was established in order to have something to do. We have enough to do. There's a scriptural mandate. The Bible says, go into the highways and hedges and compel them. What's that mean? Beg them if you have to. And then he gives us the why, that my house may be full. He goes on to say, so that people will hear. Souls will be saved. And the kingdom of God will grow. Do you realize this? This is putting us all on the spot. If we do not obey the word of the Lord regarding our witness and our visitation, and I pray, the Lord's not going to answer me. Let me say this really carefully to you. Wouldn't it be a horrible, horrible thing to have a tragic need in your life? My child is sick. Most of you know John being deployed had the injuries that he had. We found out about them on a Saturday morning. And instantly we go to prayer. Wouldn't it have been a horrible day to have something that I was disobedient to God with, and God wouldn't respond to me? See, if we knew how important the prayer request was going to be, and that it all hinged on living by faith and obedience to God, we would obey God so that God could answer us. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith means waiting for God to act. So it means waiting for God to act. It means waiting on God to answer. Living by faith means waiting in obedience. And here is the next. Living by faith means trusting God. The Babylonians had grown to the place that they trusted in themselves, for their own security. They trusted in their own military power. Now, let me revert just a moment, if you would indulge me to do so. Can I tell you this? This is what's wrong with America today. We have become a nation secure in ourselves. We have become a nation trusting our own power and our own economy and our own doings. And we have said, we don't need to trust God. And unfortunately, the nation has done that, but it has bled into God's church. And just as Habakkuk said, God, how long is this going to happen that the culture of the Babylonians becomes acceptable in the eyes of Israel, and they're infected and they're affected, and they become like unto that which surrounds them? Then God begins to answer him. And I think one of the greatest tragedies in our country today is not that the unsaved don't trust Christ. Christians don't trust him. They don't trust God to do what God has said he would do. It was 70 years later than this book was written. It was about 539 that the Babylonian Empire was destroyed, just like God said. There was a lot of people that were not around 70 years later to see the fulfillment of God's word. And Israel marched in the wilderness till an entire generation of people died because they took their trust away from God. And they failed to obey God. And God said, that's fine. I have all of this for you, but you can't have it. I have all of this promised and I have all of this reserved, but if you don't obey me and you don't trust me, I'll not give it to you. And a whole generation perished because they failed to obey, but greater, they failed to trust. We started with Luther and we finished with Luther. Years later, he penned these words, "Faith is a living, well-founded confidence in the grace of God, so that perfectly certain that it would die a thousand times rather than surrender its convictions." And highlighted is the first few words, "Faith is a living." We're going to find in the next weeks as we study through this that in the New Testament they are referring back to this passage of Scripture. And Habakkuk came to the understanding of this. When it was all over, said and done, and God had given him answer, and he had obeyed in the penning of the word, and years later Babylon fell just as God said it would, the end of his life, he could say this: the just shall live by faith. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the faith chapter. And we'll study as we move through all of these. Talks about the faith of Moses and the faith of Abraham and the faith of Mary and the faith of Sarah. It goes on to list at the end when the pages run out. It said, and what more could be said? And list out multiple people. And it didn't say a lot of what we consider positive things, but it said by their faith they died at the sword. By their faith they were persecuted. It does say by their faith they received the dead back to themselves. But the whole bottom line is Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, emphasizes this: the just shall live by faith. Now, very quickly, there is a saving faith. I hope and pray today that you sit in this auditorium, you have saving faith. Pastor, what do you mean? Faith to be saved, forgiven of sins, to have a place reserved. Don't you like to have a place reserved? My wife and I were traveling not too long ago, and we don't do this often, but we did it on this particular thing. And in fact, we were coming back this way. We were coming out of Denver last summer after being at the church in Wyoming. And we were coming back into Denver, and we were there just that last night. We had to be at the airport the next morning very early. And I didn't know anything about Denver. And I told her, I said, well, we get close and it gets time, we'll just Google it. And so about 8 o'clock, we began trying to get somewhere to stay in Denver. If you go to Denver, have a place to stay before you go. And I'm driving along and the sun's setting and it's getting dark. And Sonia's over there doing the thing. And place after place after place. Nope, no rooms. Nope, no rooms. Yes, we have a room. $300. Don't think so. And you know what happened? It became frustrating and all sorts of things. And I determined that night, I'm going to reserve early from now on. We've traveled since, and before we left, I had a reservation. And my wife would say to me, do you know where we're staying? Yes, I do, because I have a reservation number. You know, to be saved is a reserved place for you. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Personal. That's saving faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Not in my works. Not in good deeds. Not in my service. But in Jesus, that's saving faith. But the Bible says that we're not given faith just to have faith. He wants us to grow from there. And that's why in the New Testament we're told, add to your faith. Let that faith grow. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and all these things that come in with that. We're to continue. It's a growing. You know, some folks have not had saving faith yet. If you're here that way today, I pray that you would come to saving faith. Trusting what Luther, a religious man for years, who just said, I knew there had to be something more. I knew I wasn't being given the full gospel. I knew there was a God, but I didn't know exactly how until I got to His Word. Let us take the Word of God and show you this morning how faith saves. And there are a lot of folks here this morning that are probably like this, including your pastor. We are living our lives with a weak, anemic faith. Some because you're not in obedience to God. There are things in His Word that He says for you to do, and you're not doing them, and you know you're not doing them. And I'm not saying you're not doing them out of a wicked, rebellious spirit. It's just disobedience. There's some here this morning that God can't answer that important prayer in your life right now because you don't trust Him with it. You give it to Him and you take it back. You don't fully trust. And I did that illustration this morning. I'll finish with it in this hour. Every one of you who are sitting here right now exhibited faith several times today. Brother Gordon said, "Let's stand and sing." And you stood and sang. That wasn't faith. Brother Crane came up and said, "Thank you. Let's all be seated." And all of you went, whoom. You ever had somebody pull the chair from behind you? Everybody in here went, whoom. And you dropped down and you put your full faith in that seat. Aren't you glad you can trust them? Most of you trust it because you're in the same place you sat last week. Your DNA is on the pew where you are. And you come, listen. That's silly. But when you trust God, you're willing to put your full life, everything that you are. I don't see anybody. I showed the adult Sunday school class. I don't see anybody in here today who's doing this because you only partially trust that pew that you're sitting on. I don't see anybody in here that's leaning over on it like this. I don't see anybody that's putting partial faith in the pew. I see people that you fully trusted the pew. And because you've been there before, you trusted it today, and it hasn't let you down. And because of what has happened in the past, presently today, you live by faith. Faith in the seat. Now, what's the difference? There's a lot of people, I believe, in our church that are living by faith this way. I'll trust God a little bit, but I want to keep a lot of trust over here on me. And if for some reason God doesn't, then I can get up real fast. God hasn't answered your prayer, your need, because you're not obeying Him. Because what does He say? Trust in the Lord with some of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. There may be somebody here this morning that needs saving faith. We're going to pray. We'll have an invitation. There are ladies who can take a lady and show her biblically what saving faith is. Men, there are men ready to take the Word of God and show you what saving faith is. And there might be some here this morning that your trust and your obedience and your willingness to do what God has given us to do is not in the right place. And therefore, you can't say, "I'm just living by faith." But the Scripture says, "The just shall live by faith." Let's pray together. Father, please help us this morning. Habakkuk lived in a day much like we do. He had many of the same questions that we have. And we know this morning it's not wrong for us to ask the questions because it's simply asking.